Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
My God, what you might be about to hear will be the ropiest podcast I think we have ever done. We've got no Tim. My voice is shot, A, from a bit of antics last night, but B, from standing on the sidelines shouting. And I suspect you, Phil, are not in much better health.
I'm not feeling my freshest, I'll be honest, Jay.
I'm literally struggling to read. I mean, I struggle to spell. I struggle to read at the best of times, but I'm just glazing over.
We had a few beers last night, didn't we?
My word, that escalated quickly. Anyway, enough of this lad culture. There's only two of us, so pod on two, and we'll get into it. I was going to say 3, 2, 1, pod. 1, 2, pod! Hello, and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB. I'm with Phil.
Hello, JB.
And, well, we've got no Tim because he has just landed from, where's he been, Montenegro?
Croatia and Montenegro.
Something like that. So he can't be with us today. As such, what we're going to do is a tiny little podcast about the games upcoming, a little bit about our new partner, Statbacker, which is all very exciting. And we're also going to look a little bit at the Premiership table and how we think it's going to pan out. Oh, that's what we should do. We should tell you where to find us on social media, which, of course, is at...
we are at Rugby Podcast at Rugby on Twitter.
Wow, I'm such a pro. or you can find me at Jay Beardmore. There's Tim at Cocker. There's all sorts of ways to get in contact and interact with us and all the rest of it. And also, leave an iTunes review. At this point, Tim would usually leave an iTunes review.
Yes.
But Tim's not here. So we can assume someone's left a really good review. Thank you for doing that. And I hope we get many, many more in the future. Right. Let's take a real sharp turn here and talk about Cornerstone, of course. The sponsor which has helped us so much throughout the entire off-season, actually. They've pretty much single-handedly built this entire studio. They are, of course, our sponsor, and they delivered razors direct to your door. Go on the website, sign up for as little as £4 a month, and you get high quality, precision German engineered razors on a beautifully handcrafted shaft. My shaft proudly exclaims JB on it, but you can have whatever initials that you want, literally anything. I think someone got egg once.
Yes, we've had an egg. There's a few people who've taken pictures and shown us their shafts.
Oh, yeah, so show us your shaft. By going onto Cornerstone, using our code, which is...
Egg10.
Egg10, thank you. I've just been reading another code for a different podcast, so my mind is fried. And if you can't be bothered doing that, just go to checkout and use Egg10. Ah, that's what it is. /Egg Chasers. Egg10 at checkout.
That's it, JB.
Oh, wow. We're on fire. Thank you for supporting this low-quality podcast. Okay, matey, let's get into this. It is... On the verge of a new season. It feels like Christmas. I've been roasting chestnuts today. I've been spraying...
Have you?
Yeah, I've been spraying pine-scented air freshener everywhere. I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
It is. It's tremendously exciting. And it has been, I don't know, it's felt like there's been an absence of rugby. And then we slowly started to get back into it the last few weeks. We've got the Rugby Championship, which has been going on, which we'll talk about more in the main pod. We've got the top 14, which we probably won't talk too much about in the main pod.
No, we won't.
But next week, it gets serious. Aviva Premiership is back. Oh, Pro 12 God. Is back.
I mean, I probably say this. I probably said this three times because we've been going for three years now. Well, this will be our fourth season, right?
Yeah.
So I've probably said this four times. I am incredibly excited. I'm probably the most excited I've ever been for a season. Ever been.
Yeah.
It's going to be super competitive.
Yeah.
And I think that's what sets the Aviva apart from everything else, is it is the sheer unpredictability of the league, and great job everyone's done making it such a competitive spectacle.
It really is. Other than Saracens at the top, it's so difficult to predict virtually every other position.
Mm.
I mean, the bottom three do stand out a little bit, but they're from ninth through to second.
Yeah.
You could almost put it in any order and you've got a chance of being correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be nice, isn't it, not to have to scratch around for your rugby fix. I mean, I've watched all sorts of nonsense. I even watched Curry Cup.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Very, very briefly watched Curry Cup. It was all right. I watched some MP... Well, it's not called MPC anymore, is it? It's called something else.
The New Zealand one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the Mitre?
Yeah.
Mitre Cup.
So there you go. All right. What's our first game this weekend?
Well, before we actually get into the games...
Okay.
Let's just mention Statbacker. Now, you mentioned it at the head of the podcast. Now, statbacker.com is an excellent website. I mentioned it a couple of times last year, but we've actually organised something with them. We've teamed up with them for a... It's a weekly paid fantasy rugby website.
Mm.
So there's no commitments, no contracts. You don't have to join in for the whole season. You can dip in and out whenever you want. And we're in September, Egg Chasing and Statbackers are going to be covering the Aviva Premiership rounds for the first five rounds. So all you have to do, you go on there, sign up. In signing up, you'll get 15% off at hugerugby.com,
okay,
which is worth signing up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you put £10 into your account, you'll get an extra £5 free, although there's some terms and conditions to apply to that, but you'll get an extra bit of credit. And then you literally put your money where your mouth is. Not literally.
No, not literally. That'd be stupid.
But you put your money where your mouth is on stats. So you pick eight players each week who you think are going to top the stats in your Viva Premiership. And the first week is meters made. So when we're discussing these Premiership games, we're going to have one eye on who we think might do very well in these meter made stats. So this Egg Chasers League, all you do, statbacker.com, sign up, register, put some credit into your account.
Am I playing this?
You can play it if you want to. I will be playing this.
You've signed up, have you?
Definitely. Yeah, righto. I've signed up and I will be playing this. So hopefully.
You'll be cleaning up. Is there any point anyone else playing? Is there any point in me playing you?
Yes, because... So it's paid and it's a split. It's a proportional split. So first person gets the biggest share. Second person gets the second largest share. Third person gets the third largest share.
Ooh, interesting.
So even if you don't win, you can still make a nice little bit of money.
Which you intend to do, right? You set this up at the expense of everyone else.
not at all. I entered about maybe five or six.
Hang on, you've got a rugby top by winning one of these leagues.
I have. I was just going to say I've entered five or six last year. I actually won my beloved Canes top winning one, but I also lost a fair few as well.
I'm phenomenally uncomfortable with this concept. Why don't we just write you some checks? All right.
Well. We'll see. We'll see what we can do. I might have a word with the Statbacker boys just to make sure that I don't win. And I'm pretty sure I won't. We'll just win.
Okay, interesting. Well, I mean, that's if you were cheating, that's exactly what you would say, isn't it?
Yes, I definitely won't be cheating. That's one thing. This is not just a way of me funneling money.
Okay, brilliant. So straight to your Cayman Island account. Okay, so when we talk about the games, and we're going to talk about it with one eye on the game and another with a bit more analysis.
Yes.
Who have we got then? Talk to me.
Well, did you see any of the pre-season fixtures this weekend?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Phil. I did see one of them. I saw Ulster-Northampton.
Ulster-Northampton. And anything in particular stand out?
Charles Pietau.
Yes.
Amazing that he's gone through all his effort to play in a warm-up game. He's not leaving Wasps.
I was going to bring that point up because you repeatedly last season guaranteed that he would not.
He's not leaving Wasps. I can't say it. I can't say it myself.
He looked fairly handy, didn't
My
he?
My word, did he look good?
The break and the offload for the Jacob Stockdale try, which is the one that's been shared by everyone, was just unbelievable. Truly exceptional, wasn't it?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was up. I mean, I like the juggling bit, but the offload. Was it like offloads are funny, right? Because so many of them are so bad. But I do think if you're going to offload, try and get some height on the ball. Because that way you buy time for your oncoming players.
Yeah.
As an offloading master myself, I mean, that's...
your one key tip.
There's nothing worse than watching an offload and someone just throws it at the floor, directly at the floor.
Bounces down at someone's toes.
It was a very nifty piece of skill, and it looked like a strong Northampton team.
That was probably what surprised me most. So, Ulster won 29-19, but were winning 29-5, I think it was, until the last 20 minutes. And it was a mixed Ulster side, but it was what looked like virtually a full-strength Northampton side. So that's... Well, very, very impressive, or a little bit ominous, perhaps, for...
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's really hard to say, because even with full-strength teams out, you often find these weird results in pre-season. Yeah. Like, are they... Do we know what game plan they're going for? Are they going for a full hit out? Are they trying to do something in particular? You don't know. You simply don't know.
You just don't know. And I think it is very difficult to read into it. Any of you... But I'll just run through some of the other results.
Yes, please.
So... All Premiership clubs were in action, apart from Quins and Sale. I can't find anything from those two. But Gloucester beat Glasgow 33-19. Mm-hmm. Munster hammered Worcester 52-21. Ulster obviously beat Saints 29-19. Leinster lost at home to Bath 39-19. Which is an interesting one. Very
Isn't
interesting
it?
One. Saracens had a walk in the park.
Literally or...?
And well, I'm not sure where they were playing. They might have been playing at a park. Yep. But they played London Scottish and won 73-7.
Oh, they might have been playing in a park.
Yeah. I'm not actually sure where the game was. Mm. Then Bristol lost by 10 points, 9-19, to Wasps.
Okay.
So, again, hard to know what to take of that.
Yeah.
Leicester were in an 80-point thriller and came out victors 42-38 against the Ospreys.
What?
God knows what was happening in that game.
Pro 12 rules. I mean, sorry, Super Rugby rules.
Super Rugby rules, with Major there, maybe it was.
Okay.
Exeter relatively comfortably beat the Dragons 32-16, and Newcastle edged it away at Edinburgh 26-21.
Oh, okay, that's quite interesting.
So the only Premiership team to lose against a Pro 12 team was Worcester, who were hammered by Munster.
What was the score on that again? Because it sounded big.
52-21 to Munster.
Yeah, again, hard. It's hard, isn't it? Okay. So, really, when we are predicting the scores for this weekend, all we can go on is basically what we've said about the team in prior podcasts, in the review podcasts.
Yeah.
And kind of go from there.
Yeah.
All right. So do we have a Friday night game?
We do. We have two Friday night games in the Viva Premiership. Presume that the Gloucester-Leicester game is the BT Sport game.
Oh, I hope so.
Because the other game is Newcastle-Sale Sharks, and I can't imagine that
So Sale are only on TV like four times this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It really, really annoys me. Because they're going to be good. They're going to be very good this year. Are they a Sale away?
Sale are away.
Okay. No, they won't be covering that. So BT Sport will be doing the Gloucester versus Leicester one. That's going to be a very tasty game.
Yes. It really will be a tasty game. So Leicester, you'd favour the stronger team, but travelling to Gloucester is going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. This is a strange time of year as well, where everyone is feeling very confident about their chances.
Virtually everyone's fit. Everyone's fresh. No niggles. They've had good pre-season. The grounds are firm. Nice conditions.
I was talking to Steve Vaughan, Gloucester CEO for Rugby Dungeon, and a couple of things that you should know about Gloucester. They are spending the maximum that they can spend on the salary cap.
Really?
Yes, they are. But they're not spending the maximum amount that they could. Does that make sense?
Through the marquee players or through the
Yeah, so they're spending as much as they can spend, but they have left a small amount for injury cover.
Ah.
So that's how they do it. So, yeah, we criticised them for no new signings. But from sounds things, they're very excited about the academy, and actually they're very excited about bedding in for an extra year.
Yeah.
So, with all that in mind, and it being the Shed, I think Leicester will win this, but I don't think it's going to be straightforward. Far from it. And I tell you the other thing about Gloucester, which I kind of think, I've got to be careful how I phrase this. I don't rate their halfbacks.
Laidlaw and Hook.
Yeah. So Laidlaw, good kicker.
Yeah.
But sometimes being a good kicker or being in the team because you're a good kicker sort of detracts from your actual role of being a good scrum half.
Yeah.
So you saw Dan Robson, who was a tremendous talent, gone to Wasps, great.
Yeah.
Couldn't get in the team because Laidlaw is kicking. And actually, who would you rather have? It's not as straightforward as saying Laidlaw.
No, it's not. And you're right, they're two very, very different kind of players.
Yeah. So you got Laidlaw, who, I mean, for a long period of his career, he was considered as a 10.
Yeah.
And at 9, and he's club captain and all the rest of it. And there's James Hook. Now, James Hook is labelled as talented. He is undoubtedly talented. But when's the last time James Hook actually lived up to that star billing?
He seems to intermittently. I remember a couple of games. I'm thinking maybe the Quinns game, the high-scoring Quinns game last year.
Yeah, and he kicked the penalty against Saracens to win
Saracens,
a game.
Yeah.
You know, so between those two things, that's what doesn't give me a lot of hope for Gloucester. I think they'll win some games, because that's what James Hook does. But then others, they'll lose just games they should have easily have won for a club of that stature.
Yes.
So that's my worry. I don't think they're going to have much change out of Leicester. Leicester feel ominously powerful.
They do. Their backs have got even more powerful, even more strength in depth. And having bringing World Cup winner like JP Peterson and having... Manu back fit. Obviously, Matt Tamu won't be there quite yet, but they've still got a lot of firepower.
Yeah.
Up front as well. They're very strong.
Let's just talk about a quick thing you said there. JP Peterson.
Yes.
Again, not a guy who I have said is particularly high regarded in my view. Again, he's a big name and doesn't do a tremendous amount. But here's the important question. Will he be known as World Cup winner JP Peterson?
Is that his most famous thing? Is that
well, that's how you always refer to him. You yeah. always refer to him as JP World Cup winner, JP Peterson.
I do.
For when he plays against Dan Carter's Racing Metro.
Yeah. I think it's just important to remember that fact.
Yes.
But I say that because I'm probably like you. I'm consistently underwhelmed by him. I think he's a big bloke and he's reasonably quick. Not out-and-out gas like Habana, say, or Habana in his prime. But he's a solid all-round player. And... It'll be interesting to see how he goes. It really will be. Because he'll be on the end of the guys inside him. There's some very talented guys inside him.
Yeah.
So he'll be on the end of quite a few tries.
Yeah. Oh, Leicester stole a biscuit from McDonald's.
From a McDonald's. A cookie from a McDonald's.
All sorts of bad culture going on there. Give me a 40-point loss for stealing cookies. Yeah, a Leicester win, but narrowly, I'd say.
And anyone you think we should look at for the meters made, the statbacker.com meters made egg chaser challenge?
What do I think for meters made in this game? Give me Vianu.
Tolosa Vianu. Yes, me too. I can tell you last season he made the third most meters in the Premiership.
Who do you think will start at eight? Because that's always a good way to rack up some meters.
It is. So I've got Statbacker very kindly given me some information on this. Performers last season.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And it's interesting to see that full-back wingers and then back rowers are the best, the guys to go for. So who will start at eight for Leicester?
I've got a Petit Fanua. They've tried McCaffrey there.
Yeah.
Am I missing someone, though?
Did they bring anyone in?
Jordan Crane's got him.
Yeah.
Lawrence Pierce has got him, who was an eight option that they had. So, I mean, out of those two, it doesn't fill me with confidence. I'm sure a Petit Fanua can run over a couple of people. But Lachlan McCaffrey isn't a thoroughbred eight by any stretch.
No. And they brought in this Welsh lad. We mentioned it on our Leicester roundup.
Yes.
Welsh back row from Agen. But their eights, they seem to be a little bit light on the ground in terms of eight.
Mm. Yeah.
And we also highlighted in that you can see in their forward pack, all of their money is spent on their front row.
Yes.
All of it. They've got six international front rowers. And then from, well, the second row and back row, they've only got Tom Croft and recently called up Mike Williams, who's not obviously not capped yet.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I'm not sure. A Petit Fanua doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to get through a lot of work. So maybe I'd skip the eights for Leicester. Give me a score.
Oh, Leicester by seven.
Yeah, Leicester, I'd go with that. I think it's going to be quite close because everyone's going to be fired up. It'll be very intense. Nice dry pitch, though. Maybe Leicester by more. Give me Leicester by three scores.
Leicester by three scores. Wow. Away from home.
Yeah, I think so. Next game?
Next game. Well, the Newcastle Sale game also on the Friday night.
Sale. Sale by a substantial margin. Give it me 3 scores again.
Wow.
I think they're going to absolutely pound them.
Wow. I think it'll be closer than that. So Newcastle have got Sonotti back in, okay, fit and firing. They've got Mike Delaney back fit and firing.
What does that mean?
Yeah. I'm still holding out hope that, I mean, Mike Delaney's the saviour.
Why would they not go with Catrick? I mean, he had a lovely run of form. He's a good ball player.
He did. A couple of years ago, he had a very good run of form. They've also got Gonyva, who's come in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Sale will win. I think Sale will be stronger throughout the season.
But you build a house from the bottom up. Bringing in two fantastic wingers, which Sonotti and Gonyva undoubtedly are.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound to me like the best idea.
Yes.
Yeah, and Sale are the complete opposite. They have got their foundations rock solid. It's a damn good pack. I'll tell you something else. Two interesting things about Sale. Apparently, McGinty looks class in training.
Good.
I've got this first hand. And something which is second hand, or I've seen it, I should say, Dan Mugford looks stacked.
Is that the 10?
Yeah.
Does it come from Nottingham?
I say looks stacked. He's a big square boy.
Okay.
So do with that information whatever you want.
Well, Adrian McGinty was one of the best tacklers in the Pro 12 last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, who has been talking about his tackling recently? I've read an article about it.
I think someone sent us, when we were discussing his move, someone sent us an article on him where Jack Lamb was basically explaining the situation. Because they've already...
Pat Lamb.
Pat Lamb, not Jack Lamb. Not the Bristol back row and captain. The Connor
yes,
coach.
Slightly different.
Slightly similar. He was explaining the situation that they'd already signed the boy from the Lions, the reserve fly half from the Lions.
Bosch off.
So they'd taken up their quota of foreign players in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got AJ McGinty's injury cover after the World Cup. So they only came into the Connacht team very late.
Amazing, isn't it?
And so they didn't realise how good he was going to actually turn out to be.
Absolutely incredible. But Sale's gain. And I tell you what, it's
definitely
ominous, isn't it, that Sale have got a very good defensive fly half. So what is already a good defence.
Yeah.
Mike Forshall's done a very good job there. But you would say maybe the weakness was that fly half channel. No longer.
Definitely not. There's no weakness there defensively. So that's interesting.
So I think Sale will go well, and I think they'll give the boys in Newcastle a bit of a hiding.
I think Sale, again, probably by one score.
3 scores.
And also, there's a few potential boys to keep an eye on in this for the stat backer.
Right, okay, so let me clarify this. Is it one player per game or something?
No, you could have all your players from Sale if you want. There's no salary caps, no limits.
Uh-huh.
You can pick whoever you want, basically.
Right.
You've got 8 players to pick, and one of them you have to make captain, who will be doubled, and you just pick the guys who are going to run for the most yards.
Mm-hmm.
So this game, which will be relatively open and on a plastic pitch, is probably not a bad one to pick. So the two fullbacks, Simon the Hammer Hammersley and Mike Haley, who was made the 4th most metres in the Premiership last year.
Yeah, good point.
Are good guys to look at. Will Addison and obviously the two, Sonotti and Nicky Gonyva. And then probably, who's maybe not on the radar, but Josh Beaumont, if he's fit.
Yeah,
he's a ranging running 8. He might be a bit of a differential. So there's a few players to look at there, I think.
Mike Haley, certainly. That's a very good shot.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Sale are on our doorstep, and I'm still overlooking this guy just because Sale do get overlooked. Mike Haley, very good shot.
Yeah, Mike Haley's quality.
Okay, next game.
Next game, we have the earlier kickoff. The early kickoff on Saturday, again on a plastic pitch, and definitely one to look at for meters made, is Saracens hosting Worcester.
I've just had a horrible thought. I'm going to have to watch all these games on record because I'm in the bloody Lake District. Oh, no, my life.
Oh, JB. Can you not sneak a phone off?
It's on BT Sport app.
BT Sport app, yeah.
Oh, okay, thank God.
Whew.
How could I live tweet it if I hadn't got the game?
I will be doing not much else other than watching these games next weekend.
Right, sorry, repeat that game.
Saracens host Worcester. 2 p.m. kickoff. Plastic pitch, dry conditions. Saracens, who had, they had Alex Goode, who was the second most meters made in the Premiership last season, behind Chris Pennell, who was the first most meters made.
Is that right?
But Pennell obviously played more games. So Goode was, he made the most meters.
Goode is outstanding.
Most meters per match last year. So those two are two boys to have a look at in terms of meters made.
Yes, Goode, I know, I keep saying it. He is outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Definitely pick him if they're good.
Also worth a look, Billy Vunipola.
Yes, as always. But anyway, this is going to be an interesting game. I don't think Worcester are going to be bad by any stretch. I think they'll be very competitive this year. However, this is Saracens. Now, we've had kind of peak Tao. I don't think we have quite had peak Tao yet because nobody's seen him play. He's playing at Leinster. He's over here now. He didn't play a single second for England.
Yeah.
And now everyone's expecting Ben Tao to strut out onto the pitch for the Premiership and light it up. Not against Saracens.
Yeah.
He won't. So I bet he gets a hat-trick now.
I would put money on him not getting a hat-trick. I'd put money on Worcester as a whole not scoring three tries.
From a start-backer point of view, how good would he be, Tao, as your meter maker?
Not great.
Because everything goes through him. He receives a lot of ball, and that's what he's there to do.
But he makes the hard yards. He's making yards in heavy traffic. I mean, you look at Jamie Roberts.
Perfect.
Who does the same role, and he makes 3 metres per carry.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. So let's just have a bit of fun with this. How many metres per carry do we think, Tao, if Jamie Roberts is three metres per carry, what is Tao going to be? More athletic, you'd say. Faster.
Yeah.
Lighter.
In a worse team. I don't think he's that much lighter. He's quite a big boy.
Yeah, Jamie Roberts is 6'4".
Yeah.
He's a monster.
Yeah, and he's 110 kg, which Tao isn't, but yeah. He's not that much lighter. I think they'd be very similar. I think the difference would be Quins are probably slightly better than Worcester, so we'll be making on whole, they'll have more opportunities and more meters. So I think Jamie Roberts will outstrip. Jamie Roberts will be 3, Tao will be 2.9.
Right, here's what
average
I'm
for the season.
I need to fill up this room with more gimmicks. So on that wall, I'm going to have Tao versus Roberts this year.
And the meter, meter tracker.
The average meters made throughout the season.
Yeah, I'll happily record that every single week. I went back looking about the last 2 years worth of games. I might even have it on this laptop.
You loser.
Right. At Jamie Roberts' average meters made.
Right, okay,
and
fine.
And he was averaging like 2.8 or 2.9. And then it was the period when he was just finishing 2 seasons ago in France.
Mm-hmm.
The last like 6 games of the season, he averaged like 9 or 10. It was April, May time. There was free-flowing rugby. And it just completely ruined all of his averages.
Idiot.
Or improved all of his averages, depending on how you look at it. Here we go. Jamie Roberts meters made. Where's my Jamie Roberts meters made spreadsheet?
That's insane that you have one of them. What an idiot. We've said Worcester are going to get hammered, yeah?
Yes.
Do you think it's going to be hiding? Or do you think it's just going to be controlled destruction?
It'll be a bonus point win for Saracens.
Okay,
fine. Take of that what you will.
Game four.
Saturday, this will be a good game. Saturday, 3:30, is Northampton Bath.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's not get too excited about Bath yet, because new coaching team, all the rest of it, I don't think they're going to be playing that well. They'll have a ton of enthusiasm. The camp sounds like it's nicer for not having Mike Ford there, by all accounts. And there might be some sort of bounce back as they all try and impress the coaches.
Yeah.
But the coaches are going to be using last year's systems.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Thing, and slowly tune them up from what I understand.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
It is okay. Interesting.
Let's do it the other way around. Let's look at Northampton. These boys are monsters.
Yes.
I mean, just in terms of talent alone, they might be even more talented than, say, Saracens. No, they are more talented than Saracens.
In terms of international names, they can get them right across the board. Almost 1 to 15, they can have international players.
Players don't get any bigger in stature than Louis Picamoles, George North, Dylan Hartley.
Yeah, the current England captain, Dylan Hartley.
Yeah, it's mad. Because they're such a massive physical pack, and they are huge, and they're nice and settled, I think they'll run the rule over Bath, and I think they'll start to pull away. About minute 60, you'll start to see them open up, and I don't think Bath will have what it takes to beat them. If Bath score, or when they score, I suspect it'll be one of two things. It'll be something like a driving maul or something, or it's going to be one of those just individual bits of brilliance from one of their many, many talented players.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in terms of size and overall depth and pack, Northampton are second to no one.
Very interesting. Northampton, I think, will go very well this season. Bath are just... they're a bit of an unknown quantity because we know they've got a lot of talented players. We didn't see anywhere near their best last year.
Yeah.
And then they've got this new coaching structure and we just don't know how it's all going to gel. They could either go brilliantly or right from day one, they could get a hide in and it could be a long, tough season for them.
I don't think they're winning this one. That's for sure.
No, I don't think they're winning this.
Are they at the Gardens or are they at the Rec?
At the Gardens.
No, they're not winning this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll slowly get better. That's the problem with this league. There isn't really an easy game. You can't think, oh, yeah, you know, if only we had...
oh, a nice rest week.
Yeah. You've got to be on your game from the start.
Yeah.
And, yeah, unless there's some sort of weird bounce back or, you know, one of those games where everything just falls your way and you've got the momentum on your side and defence is good, that kind of game. That's the only way that they even come close to Northampton. Northampton by two scores.
Right, Northampton by one score. I also think there's... one of the matchups of the year is going to be the two number eights, the two big new signings, Louis Picamoles versus Toby Faletau.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, do you know, when you start talking about the actual players, Bath up,
yeah,
it does start to get a bit more tricky as to who's... now, here's another reason that I think Bath are going to struggle mightily early on. They don't have Lowe.
Yes.
And he is incredibly important to everything that they do. So...
did you see who got named as Bath captain this week?
Yeah, Mercer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really understand it. I've never seen him play for Bath.
I've seen him play.
Well, but I have. Yeah. But, you know, a bit of a throwaway comment. But, you know, he's not who I'd have thought, unless he organises the socials and stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is the club captain.
Because Hooper was club captain, but didn't always start.
Yeah, true, so, towards the end.
Maybe they're doing the same sort of thing. Have you seen the gif, if that's how you say it, of Hooper and Mercer shaking hands?
No.
Or not shaking hands.
No, I've not seen it. Is it one of those awkward hands?
Yeah, yeah. Mercer goes in for the handshake and Hooper just turns away.
Is there anything worse than either a failed handshake where you don't quite get like thumb to thumb and you kind of end up clenching someone's fingers, like squeezing the fingers, or when someone has a real limp, wet
handshake? I was dealing with a company director the other day who works in a very manly industry. So I went in for the crushing handshake, which I've actually got a patent on. I went in for it and it was the lamest, weakest thing. So I thought that must be a one-off. No, so you've shaken his hand three times now and I've noted it. Every time it's weaker and weaker and weaker.
Getting weaker.
Yeah, it's really weird. He's a big guy as well.
Oh.
Very strange. I'll give you one more handshake anecdote before we move on.
Just one more.
Oh, go on then, as you've asked. When we were in school, on two separate occasions, the headmaster made every boy in the school line up and shake his hand on the way out of assembly to make sure we got it right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
eye contact, solid grip.
Did you go to like a finishing school?
Yeah. That was just before my debut. As a debutant.
It's an important life skill.
It's absolutely vital.
Yeah.
That and knowing how to scrimmage. Two very important life skills.
And tying your own bow tie. And
I can't do that.
Can you not?
No idea.
I have no respect for anyone who doesn't tie their own bow tie.
Ooh, no, I'm worried about clip-on.
I thought you'd love it.
I have thought of buying a bow tie and learning. It seems unnecessary.
Nah, very necessary skill.
Righto.
Oh, we were talking about the matchup, the Pick'emalls versus Faletau matchup. Who are both, they should both be considered for the Meters Made. Definitely.
Yeah, so Pick'emalls versus Faletau. That's really interesting. Okay, I think Faletau will make more Pick'emalls make more meters. I think Faletau will do more work.
Yeah, it depends how they're operated, because you see some eights dropping deep to return the kick, which both of them can do, but Faletau, just in terms of his tackles and his rooks hit, and his carries in hard conditions.
Well, and this might be a weird thing to say. Who knows if Pick'emalls will even start?
Well, he played this weekend, didn't he?
Did he start?
I think he did start.
Because the only reason I say that is being in the pack is fairly complex. Your line-up calls, you've got various defensive calls, all the rest of it. And he's not particularly comfortable with English. Yep. And he's a relatively new addition. He didn't land into Northampton until maybe, 4 or 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So they might decide to put him on the bench and ease him into it.
Yeah. Well, it's a very good point, actually. So the teams are announced on, I think, the Thursday, the Friday game teams are announced, and on the Friday, the rest of the teams are announced. So sign up for your stat backer now, this week. You might be better to wait for some of the team announcements to see exactly who's going to be playing.
Yes, that's very, very sage advice, that, Phil.
Indeed.
Game?
Next game is... I'm opening about 5 different windows at the moment. Quinn's host Bristol.
Weirdly, this would be one of the teams that Bristol could beat.
Okay.
I think this stacks up well for them.
Okay.
Quinn's, good going forward, can beat anyone on their day. Not good on D at all. In fact, they're so bad on their D, I think, if you listen to Rugby Dungeon, Joe Marlowe describes them as shithouses. Which is interesting. But they've also appointed Nick Easter to do the defence.
Yeah.
Now, I like the continuity which they've got.
They've
got rid of Conor O'Shea, and they're basically promoted from within. John Kingston's very highly thought of, but it is a different role. So it'll be interesting to see if actually what Quinn's needed is a complete overhaul to improve that D, or this continuity will work.
Yeah.
I tend to prefer continuity, but we'll see.
The other side of it, they have brought someone new in to strengthen one of their weak points last year.
Mm.
They brought in Graham Rowntree, haven't they? As a scrimmaging coach forward.
Have they?
Yeah. So it'd be very interesting to see how he goes and what he makes of like a young prop like Kyle Sinclair. Mm-hmm. He's already got the old head of Adam Jones alongside him, but having that other experience directly coaching him, it'd be very interesting to see how that goes.
So of the last coaching group, Rowntree got a lot of stick, especially after the Australia game.
Yes.
A lot of stick.
Yeah.
But prior to that, people forget he was by far the most highly regarded coach.
Lions scrimmaging coach. Yeah. Very highly regarded.
So that's a nice appointment.
Yeah. Well, it could be. But like you say, against Australia, he and England were very heavily criticised in the World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Agreed.
So that game, I'm going for a Harlequins win.
I'm going to say, is it at Harlequins?
It is.
That makes it... See, Bristol do have a meaty pack.
Yeah.
They have good players. But the danger is, have these players been for too long on coast mode? And now they're going to come to the big boys league and get an absolute hiding.
Yeah.
Because they're not prepared. I'm going to stick my neck out. I think there might be a Bristol win here.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. Because, I mean, let me just justify that some more. Yeah, I think their pack's decent. And they might just be able to... They might just match up well against Harlequins.
Yeah.
They're not going to be overpowered. They might get outscored through the backs. But there again, their backs are no joke either.
No.
And if they're... I tell you what, if they're starting that lad, Harrell,
The inside centre from Doncaster.
Yeah. Now, if you don't know about this lad, just have a look at some of his performances. Yeah. He runs like a steam train.
His try that arguably got him signed by Bristol against them in the final.
I've changed my mind. Harlequins are going to win this, and I'll tell you why they're going to win it. They're going to win it because you just said Hurrell in the championship, in the final, when they should be G'd up, ran through their defence on his own.
He did.
And for that, that's inexcusable. No, I've built up... No, Harlequins are definitely going to win it.
No,
I've changed my mind completely.
I also think Harlequins will win. I think it'll be... when the Harlequins have got all their England players fighting fit, which they will have for this, they are a formidable force. So give me Harlequins. And also, have a look at Harlequins' back three. Visser, Yard, Mike Brown were all in the top lot.
Oh.
They were all in the top 15 of metres made per match.
Statbacker, Tim Visser.
I can tell you, Tim Visser last season averaged 63.3 metres per match.
Well, there you go.
Which put him 13th on the overall Premiership.
Oh, that's not as high as I thought.
Marlon Yard was 9th with 69. Mike Brown was 8th with 72 metres per match.
Oh, there you go. I don't know anything.
Well, no, they're all very good. There's not a huge amount between the three of them. It is worth pointing out that Visser played significantly fewer games than the other two as well, through injury and
international call-ups and all the rest of it.
Yeah, they were all affected by international call-ups.
So Harlequins one score.
Yeah, give me Harlequins probably by a couple. And then Sunday, 3 p.m. It will be on BT Sport.
Yes. I'll be back to watch this live.
Possibly the best game of the weekend. We saw it a couple of times last year.
Go on.
Including in the Heineken Cup or European Challenge Cup. Wasps host Exeter.
Yes. Wasps to get their first loss early.
Wow. Wasps at home.
I have... the more I think about Wasps, the more I'm down on them. And I'll give you another prediction. Dai Young, the coach in the league with the most pressure on his shoulders.
He has spent big, hasn't he?
Spent big, and some might say not too wisely. Now, this could go one of two ways. They're going to either be second by Christmas behind Saracens.
Yeah.
Not going to be first. No one's going to beat Saracens. Or they're going to be something like sixth.
Yeah.
That's how... there isn't anything in between. If it works, my God, we're in for some great rugby.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, just so many lighter guys in that team. Still not a big dominant pack, but will it be enough? I don't think they can turn over all the teams as consistently as they'd like to, but they'll have a couple of big headline wins.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
The one thing Wasps might be able to do, though, is be very effective in tournaments. Do you know when it's like a one-off game?
Yeah.
I think they're not built for the league. If they get into the top four, they've got every chance of winning it. But I don't think in the league structure they're going to finish that high. I think somewhere between second and sixth. That's not really much of a prediction, is it? I'll say in the league they're going to finish about fourth, maybe.
No, I actually have Wasps down as not making the top four this year.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think their pack is decent without being outstanding. Their backs are potentially brilliant, but will also have frequent off days and they're defensively potentially frail. So,
yeah. And the other thing as well is they're playing Exeter.
Yes.
Exeter. Wasps have basically ripped it up, and this Wasps team bears no resemblance to Wasps team of, say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Agreed?
Yes.
Every Exeter team looks like the one before it, but slightly improved.
Yes. They're fine. It's a fine tuning, isn't it?
You know when the Exeter team shows up from last year, it's going to be the same as last year's, but a bit better, because they're planned for it and it's ready to go. And that's why I think they will finish higher than Wasps. I'm going to have to redo my table now. This is the problem. You keep talking myself around how good and how bad the teams are.
It's a sign of just how competitive the league is. It's so difficult. And whatever we nail now, we could talk about it for hours, whatever we nail now, the table won't actually look like that other than Saracens are going to win the thing.
Yeah. Exeter will beat Wasps.
I think they might as well. Exeter will go away and win.
Yeah, they're just too powerful. Yeah. Give me Exeter.
And I think looking at the players for the Statbacker,
Waldron,
Waldrum and Nathan Hughes, two of the top.
Oh God, Nathan Hughes.
Yeah, top meters made from the back row.
How about
also
Wade?
Well, Wade, I mean, is down there. He's not. He's 19th. Him and Frank Collier, 19th and 20th overall, averaging 55 meters per match, which is still very good,
mm-hmm.
but not as good. Jack Noel, for example, is 65 meters per match.
Right. Yeah. Huh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, I'll go for Waldron and I'll go for Wade because I don't really know how to play this game. I just pick by the big names.
Big names. Money players.
Exactly right. I'm not into these stats. And is that all the Premiership games done?
That is all the Premiership games. Shall we quickly run through the Pro 12?
Take your time, Phil. It's up to you. However quickly you want to do it, mate.
Okay. Friday night, we've got Leinster hosting Benetton Treviso.
Right. It's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard to get excited. I was like, go on, give me a good one. Give me, like, Scarlet Services. And the thing is, as well, here's the other thing. All the good games are saved for Christmas. So you have to get the dross out of the way because they have all the good games in one period.
So Friday night, it does feel like it's a little one-sided. So Leinster host and will beat Benetton Treviso.
Okay, so one of Europe's premier rugby organisations with three Heineken Cups to their name, always in the final, always doing well, against who? Nobody's.
Basically.
I can't wait to watch this. It's going to be wonderful.
So the Friday night games are one-sided. Ospreys host Zebra. and Ulster host the Dragons.
Okay, we can talk about Ulster Dragons, maybe?
Pietau. Give me Charles. I just want to see Charles Pietau.
Well, yeah. In case he shows up at Wasps.
well, he can't play both Friday night and Sunday, can he?
I think he could.
I mean, if he's getting paid $500,000 a year, you want to?
Yeah, you really want.
Yeah, you're going to eke out everything you can.
So,
so Saturday,
right?
Saturday.
Let's just do Friday's games, okay? So, I mean, is. Why?
We've done Friday's game. Leinster beat Treviso, Ospreys beat Zebra, Ulster beat
Dragons. Are you happy with those two predictions? Do you want to tell... I mean, it's so rubbish, isn't it? And I'll tell you why it's rubbish. It's not me just... I know everyone's going to say how boring it is. I'm going off on the Pro 12 again. We've just spoke about rugby, the intricacies of the matchups, how competitive it's going to be. We're really looking forward to seeing men go at it, for want of a better phrase. Tim would be all over that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, men at it, yeah. We can't even discuss...
Half of the games.
Ospreys versus Zebra, because A, we don't really know who will play for Zebra, and they're rubbish. There'd just be no point.
Yeah.
No point.
So that's half the games aren't worth discussing.
Okay, so what's the next game?
Next game, 3 p.m. on the Saturday, Scarlets host Munster.
Ah, excellent.
Which will be an interesting game. So, as we spoke about on a previous pod, the Welsh regions have strengthened from last year, and Munster, who we thought were going to be very weak, hammered Worcester. So that could
be something very special in Munster, isn't it? And not enough credit is given to the Irish Academy system.
Yeah.
You know, everyone waxes lyrical about the English Academy system. Well, you know, last time I checked, Ireland was slightly better. They beat the Welsh in the under-20s World Cup too. Did they beat New Zealand?
Yeah.
So I'm not overly fussed that there's not been a big signing, because they've basically got their big signings already in place, and it's good that they're bringing it through the youth, particularly when it's so talented. In fact, Munster are so blessed with players. I think they let the under-20s World Cup winning 7 go.
Wow.
Nothing to be worried about there. Against Scarlets, who are probably the best of the Welsh regions.
Do you think they'll be the best?
Well, I mean, they are looking at last year's performances.
Yes, but last season, the Ospreys were hit heavier than anyone by the disrupted season because of the World Cup.
Yes, that is true. They, meaning the Scarlets, have got a marvellous back line. I don't know much about the lad, Rhys Pratchell, but everyone that I speak to who watches Welsh rugby say two things. He's very good, and Cardiff Blues fans are really not happy to lose him.
Yeah.
Having JD2 back to pair with Scott Williams, and then Liam Williams is just a complete baller.
And they brought in Johnny McNichol from the Crusaders.
Oh, yeah, he's a great player.
He's a handy winger, yeah. Scarlets will be a good team.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about Scarlets I don't get. Everyone bangs on about their pack. Their pack is all internationals. I mean, you read their front row. It's basically the Wales front row. Jake Ball, Welsh second row. Fox Davis is now a national treasure.
Who could be boy?
Could be boy.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Is Fox the other one?
Fox is
John.
Fox is John, isn't he?
And Cubby Boy
Cubby Boy is
The other one.
The other one.
Right. Yeah, he's...
James Davis.
He's like a national treasure now, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, this will be a good game. I think teams that don't win struggle to turn that round. I think it's a cultural thing. I still think that Munster will have the psychological edge because they are perennial winners. And what are Scarlets? They're perennial. They're like the Welsh Harlequins. As long as they play nice rugby, they don't really care.
The Scots did finish above Munster last season, didn't they?
That is true. That is true.
So I'm going to say Scarlets at home, and it'll be a good game as well.
Munster away.
Now, 5:15, probably the best Pro Tour game of the weekend. A repeat of the semi-final, I think it was, this year. Connacht host Glasgow.
Wow, okay, that is a great, great game.
This will really be a good game.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? Can Connacht continue what they've done? Is the book already out? Are there ways to combat what Connacht do? Who has the answers, what the team's done?
Yeah. And can they plug the gaps left by McGinty, left by Henshaw and Muldowney?
One thing we didn't say last week, and we should have said, was, of course, Dave Rennie. Now, anyone who knows anything about rugby or pays attention to these things will tell you Dave Rennie is one of, if not the most highly regarded coach, certainly in the club game that there is.
Yeah.
And he's been signed by Glasgow. I assumed his next job would be international.
Yeah.
A hell of a signing.
It is a good signing.
But he didn't start his job a few months yet.
Well,
about a year, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it June next year?
I think so.
When Gregor goes off to Scotland.
Yeah. I'll give the...
Gregor's quite a handy coach in his own right.
Yeah, well, they couldn't afford to lose him, could they? So
no,
they had to give him to Scotland. But all credit to Scotland and the, what was it, Scottish Rugby Union, SRU.
SRU, yeah.
They've really done well in investing in coaches. So with everything else that's wrong with the Scottish game, and there's a ton of stuff, which I don't even want to talk about, Vern Cotter was an excellent appointment.
Yeah.
Gregor Townsend has just developed, and now bringing in Dave Rennie, that's pretty handy. So, yeah.
So give me your prediction. Connacht, Glasgow.
At
Connacht.
I'm going to pick Glasgow.
More consistency,
yes, in the off-season. They'll be hurting.
Yeah.
There's going to be two teams coming out. One of them's going to want revenge, and I think the other one, and I don't know this for a fact, and I'm sure I'll get shot down, but I think there's going to be almost like a nervousness in the Connacht camp. Can they live up to expectations?
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure on their shoulders and a lot of expectation.
Yeah. And they weren't playing full-strength teams every week, whereas they were always full-strength. So you combine all those things and you think, Connacht, they're going to have it tough this year. Give me Glasgow.
I'm also going to go Glasgow away. But that'll be a great game. And then the final game, Cardiff Blues host Edinburgh.
Plastic pitch, all that lot.
Yeah. Cardiff again strengthening a little bit.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? It's classic Pro 12, this. Do Cardiff put out their strongest possible side? Answers yes, Cardiff can win. Answers no, Cardiff will lose. I simply don't know.
They will. Cardiff, I assume, will put out their strongest possible side. Everyone's fit. There's no reason why they would rest anyone in a home game like this. So, give me Cardiff.
Yeah, logic says Cardiff. I've just got a funny feeling about this. I'll go with Edinburgh.
Oh, okay.
For no good logic. Just feels right.
Okay. Good, I'm glad you're working.
Who have Edinburgh signed recently?
I can tell you, they have signed this season. So they brought in Duncan Weir from Glasgow.
Oh.
Rory Scholes from Ulster.
Uh-huh.
Who's not a bad player, Rory Scholes. It shows the kind of strength and depth out wide. We've spoke about it before, in the Ulster back line. They've brought in Rassiola. I think, is he a prop? Junior Rassiola? No, centre winger.
Righty-o. Anyway, I'm bored of this chap. That's that then.
I'll tell you who they have brought in, actually, Edinburgh. They brought in Mata, the other second row who plays for Fiji Sevens, who will be an interesting signing.
Excellent. Right, mate. I think we should basically wrap it up. This was the short podcast. It's 55 minutes long.
Is that 55 minutes?
It's 55 minutes long.
Bloody hell. Well, if we're wrapping it up then, go to...
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
Wait.
Okay.
Because, of course, go to StatPacker. It's very important to do that. But we've actually got another sponsor, Phil. I feel like we're just a mule for sponsorship now. Yeah, I mean, when we first started the podcast, I always wanted basically to be a huge corporate sellout. Now, we're not quite there yet, but you know, a few more sponsors, hopefully. We basically just be a mouthpiece for a large yeah, company.
The Egg Chasers Marketing Podcast.
Oh, I can't tell you how much I would love that.
I'm not sure our listeners would particularly enjoy that.
But luckily, these guys are not that. They're called Beer 52. They're a subscription beer service, and you sign up. But what they do for you is they taste the beer, they personalise your box. Now, this is important because I have actually been on record, embarrassingly, when I'm interviewing players, talking about how awful craft beer is. So, as it happens, if you personalise it, it's excellent. In fact, we were out only last night drinking beer. I tried to make a point that craft beers were awful, and it backfired horribly. In fact, I quite enjoyed it, and that annoyed me.
It was delicious. You picked what you thought was going to be the most disgusting one, a 7.3% Beavertown brew. And it was excellent. It was absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I hate it when I'm wrong, and I was actually wrong. And I've actually had a crate of this stuff now, and I've had Tim's crate. don't tell him that. Yeah. And it is genuinely delicious. So if they can tailor craft ale to me, they can certainly tailor craft ale to you.
And I can tell you from personal experience as well. Last weekend when I was in Edinburgh, I was drinking Jarl.
Yes.
J-A-R-L. Which is one of their beers, which is a 3.8 session ale, and it is delightful. We had a tremendous session on that stuff.
Yeah, but you're almost like a pervert when it comes to this. I mean, you drink Salty Kiss. If Tim was here, Tim would tell you exactly what Salty Kiss tastes like, and the other time that you'd get that exact same taste in your mouth. It's horrendous, and yet you drink it.
It's delightful. I've just ordered 48 cans of it.
Oh. It's really bad. So, here's my point, I guess. If you're a pervert like Phil, you can have a crate of beer which fits your perverted needs.
Yeah.
If you're a normal guy who likes nice, clean-tasting lagers, pills, and that sort of thing, you can also have that. There is something for everyone. And actually, it's a great service. As usual, go and visit them at Beer52 and use our code EGGCHASERS10. That easy.
Perfect.
Anything you want to do before we...
No, I better go. My laptop's about to die, and I'm under strict orders that I've got to go and eat some octopus.
Oh, tough life, eh, mate?
Yeah.
Tough life. End of pod hashtag?
Should we save it for the proper pod? The proper pod, which will be out on Wednesday morning after we finally get Tim back in front of us and in the studio.
And you actually finally get some talent on these microphones. It would be lovely, wouldn't it? Thank you for listening. Leave us a review, do that sort of stuff. Apparently it's very important. Contact us on Twitter if you want to get in touch and say hello and just, you know, chat about rugby or craft ale or whatever else. And until tomorrow, when you're listening to this today, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Tomorrow you'll have the actual Egg Chasers rugby podcast rather than this, the substandard substitute.
Me and you rambling on for an hour about six games.
Yeah. The Mark Regan of podcasts, no, is that fair?
Yeah.
The Mark Regan podcast.
Substandard.
No, I might want to interview him in the future.
Okay.
Let's think of someone else.
Wait, he's a World Cup winner. But he didn't start, did he?
He was third choice.
He was third choice hooker in the squad.
Who is a substandard substitute?
Reese Priestland?
Perfect. The Reese Priestland of podcasts. See you tomorrow with Tim, or if you want, catch me on the Rugby Dungeon at some point on Wednesday.
Perfect.
All right, bye-bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.